Good evening, BZB, and welcome to Sleep Better Podcast by BZB's Honey, where we share special sleep stories to help you sleep better. Let's take a moment to acknowledge the incredible dedication and care you pour into each day. Your commitment to nurturing others is truly admirable, but tonight, this time is solely for you. It's your turn to be cared for, to be soothed, and to embrace the tranquility that you so richly deserve. Imagine for a moment the gentle embrace of serenity, wrapping around you like a soft, comforting blanket. Tonight is about letting go of the day's worries and immersing yourself in a world of peacefulness and rest. Remember, BZB, caring for yourself is not just a luxury, it's a necessity. Your well-being is the foundation from which you can continue to spread kindness and compassion to the world. This story, crafted especially for you, BZB, is a journey to a place where dreams blend seamlessly with reality, where the mind finds solace and the spirit is gently lulled into a state of blissful repose. So settle in, BZB. Let the world outside fade away as we embark on this peaceful journey together. Let's begin. In an age when the world was younger and the veil between the divine and mortal realms was thinner, the gods of Olympus reigned supreme, their desires and disputes shaping the fate of the world below. Yet, beyond the gleaming halls of Olympus, in a shadowed corner of the cosmos, lay the tranquil and often overlooked realm of Hypnos, the god of sleep. This was a place of profound peace and enigmatic darkness, where dreams fluttered like moths under the moonlight, weaving fantasies and nightmares with the same delicate threads. Hypnos, with his wings of night and whispers of oblivion, held dominion over this realm. Unlike his fellow deities, whose dramas and dalliances often spilled into the mortal world with thunderous impact, Hypnos preferred the quietude of his shadowy domain. He was a solitary figure, finding companionship in the silent procession of dreams that passed through his realm. Yet his was a power that touched every mortal soul, from the mightiest king to the lowliest peasant, granting respite from the toils of life through the balm of sleep. Beneath the gaze of the gods, the earth was a tapestry of contrasting landscapes, from the sun-kissed shores of the Aegean to the rugged peaks of the untamed north. It was here, on the fringe of the known world, that a family whose fate would entwine with that of Hypnos made their home. This was no ordinary family, but one marked by the gods, though they knew it not. The patriarch Aeson was a man of the earth, his hands as gnarled as the olive trees he tended, and his heart as vast as the open skies. His life had been one of hardship and toil, but also of profound love and joy, shared with his wife, Helena, and their three sons. The eldest, Lykos, bore the weight of expectation like a mantle, his shoulders broad and his gaze steady. He was his father's son, rooted in the traditions of the past, yet always looking to the horizon. The middle son, Aeson, was the fire of the family, his passion and temper as unpredictable as a summer storm. Yet beneath his brash exterior lay a deep well of compassion. And then there was the youngest, Nikos, with eyes as wild as the untamed forests and a spirit that yearned for freedom beyond the confines of their world. Nikos was the embodiment of the restless heart, never content to linger long in one place, always drawn to the shadowed paths and the mysteries they held. It was this youngest son, with his dreams of distant lands and his disdain for the shackles of tradition, who first caught the attention of Hypnos. There was something in Nikos's restless spirit that mirrored Hypnos's own solitude, a similarity that drew the god's gaze time and again. Hypnos watched as Nikos wandered the forests and climbed the mountains, seeking something he could not name, a yearning that echoed in the god's own heart. As the seasons turned, Hypnos found himself increasingly drawn to the mortal realm, his visits to the world of men becoming more frequent. He watched over the family, unseen, as they celebrated and mourned, as they loved and lost. In the tapestry of their lives, Hypnos saw the reflection of the divine dramas played out on Olympus. Yet there was a purity in their joys and sorrows that the gods had long since forgotten. Amidst the beauty and brutality of the mortal world, the boundary between the realms of god and man began to blur for Hypnos. He knew the laws that governed his kind, the edicts that forbade direct interference in the affairs of mortals. Yet, as he observed the family, and Nikos in particular, a desire to reach out, to intervene, began to grow within him. It was a dangerous longing, one that threatened to upset the delicate balance between the divine and the earthly. And so, as the first whispers of dawn crept across the land, Hypnos made a decision that would alter the course of destiny, not just for the family he had watched over, but for himself as well. In the realm of dreams, where his power was unchallenged, he would extend an invitation to Nikos, offering him a glimpse into the world beyond his waking life. It was an act of compassion and curiosity, a bridge between the god of sleep and the mortal with the restless heart. But even gods cannot foresee all ends, and the threads of fate are woven with intentions both dark and light. The journey upon which Hypnos and the family were about to embark would be one of discovery and despair, of love and loss, a saga that would echo through the halls of time, reminding all who heard it of the thin line that separates the divine from the mortal. The family, with Aeson at its head, was a microcosm of the world's varied facets. Aeson, having faced the vicissitudes of life with a stoic resilience, had instilled in his sons the virtues of honor, courage, and the value of the land that sustained them. Helena, their mother, was the family's heart, her wisdom and warmth a guiding light through their darkest days. Their home, nestled in the embrace of the earth, was a haven, yet also a crucible that forged the brothers into men. Lycos, ever the dutiful son, carried his responsibilities with a grace that belied the weight of his future role as the family's patriarch. His connection to the land and his family was unshakable, his decisions always made with their welfare in mind. Yet beneath his calm exterior, there lay a well of unexplored dreams, a desire for something beyond the boundaries of their estate, often quelled by duty and love. Aeson, with his fiery spirit, was the tempest to Lycos's tranquility. Where Lycos tread carefully, Aeson charged forward, led by his heart's passions. His love for his family was fierce, matched only by his quest for justice in a world he often found wanting. Aeson's battles were not only with the world but within himself, struggling to reconcile his inner fire with the peace he sought. Nikos, the youngest, was the wild card, his soul as untamed as the wind. His brother's contrasts were mirrored in him, yet magnified by a wanderlust that no horizon could satisfy. Nikos's relationship with his family was a tapestry of love and conflict, his desires often clashing with their expectations. His dreams were vivid, filled with lands unseen and adventures unclaimed, a constant source of both wonder and worry for his family. It was these dreams, vibrant and all-consuming, that first drew Hypnos's attention. The god of sleep, accustomed to the muted whispers of the subconscious, found Nikos's dreams a riot of color and sound. They were windows into a soul yearning for freedom, for a life untethered by the mundane. Hypnos, moved by the young mortal's fervor, began to weave himself into Nikos's dreams, subtly at first, offering glimpses of realms beyond imagination, places where the earth touched the sky and the stars sang in harmony. Hypnos's fascination with Nikos and his family deepened with each passing night. As he ventured further into the fabric of Nikos's dreams, he saw reflections of his own hidden desires, a longing for connection, for understanding beyond the confines of his divine existence. Hypnos, in his solitude, found a kinship with Nikos, a mortal whose heart beat with the same restless rhythm as his own. This connection, however, was not without its consequences. Hypnos's interventions in Nikos's dreams began to blur the lines between sleep and waking, the dreamscapes bleeding into the daylight hours. Nikos, once content with his fleeting nocturnal adventures, found his waking life pale in comparison to the vividness of his dreams. He became distant, his gaze often lost in the middle distance, straining to see the worlds that lay just beyond his reach. The family, unaware of the divine influence shaping Nikos's restlessness, watched with growing concern as he withdrew from them, his once vibrant presence dimmed. Aeson, sensing a change in the natural order, feared that forces beyond their understanding were at play. Helena, with a mother's intuition, whispered prayers to the gods, seeking their protection over her youngest son, unaware that a god was already entwined with his fate. As the seasons changed, so too did the nature of Hypnos's visits. No longer content to be a mere observer, he began to interact with Nikos in the dreamscape, taking on forms both wondrous and strange. To Nikos, these encounters were both exhilarating and disconcerting, the line between his dream visitor and reality becoming ever more indistinct. Hypnos, in his guise, offered Nikos challenges and quests within the dreams, each a test of spirit and strength, promising the freedom and adventure Nikos craved. Yet, with each dream, the god unwittingly tethered Nikos closer to the realm of sleep, the young man's days filled with a longing for the night and the escape it offered. This divine meddling did not go unnoticed by the other deities. Morpheus, Hypnos's brother, saw the imbalance growing between the realms of sleep and wakefulness. He warned Hypnos of the dangers of becoming too entangled in the lives of mortals, of the delicate balance between their worlds that must be maintained. Hypnos, however, was too captivated by his connection to Nikos and the family to heed these warnings. He rationalized his actions as benign, unaware of the shadow his fascination cast over the mortal world. The impact of Hypnos's intervention began to manifest in more tangible ways. The land, once fertile and yielding, showed signs of neglect, as if it too missed Nikos's attention and care. The family's unity, their strength in the face of adversity, was tested as Nikos' obsession with his dream world grew. Lykos and Iason, each dealing with their own struggles, found themselves at a loss on how to bridge the growing gap between them and their youngest brother. In the realm of dreams, Nikos and Hypnos journeyed together through landscapes of unimaginable beauty and terror, the god revealing to the mortal the breadth of his power and the depths of his loneliness. Nikos, in turn, shared his hopes and fears, his dreams of a life unbound by duty or destiny. In these shared confessions, a bond formed between god and mortal, a bridge of dreams that spanned the chasm between their worlds. Yet, as the bond deepened, so too did the rift within Nikos's soul. Torn between the allure of the dream world and the ties that bound him to his earthly life, he stood at a crossroads, unaware that the path he chose would shape not only his destiny, but the fate of all who loved him. As the wheel of the seasons turned, the family's estate, once a bastion of prosperity and unity, began to show signs of strain. The fields, tended less frequently by hands preoccupied with internal and external battles, yielded poorer harvests. Eason, ever the pillar of strength, found his health waning, his once indomitable spirit tested by the creeping shadows of uncertainty that had begun to envelop his family. Lykos, shouldering the additional burdens, felt the weight of his future leadership more heavily than ever. The practical realities of managing their lands and the increasing responsibilities pressed upon him, drawing him further from his brothers, especially Nikos, whose growing detachment became a source of deep concern. Iason, meanwhile, found himself caught between his fiery desire to right the wrongs he perceived in the wider world and the immediate needs of his family. His ventures beyond the estate, driven by a quest for justice and a need to prove his worth, often left the family exposed and vulnerable. His actions, though well-intentioned, sometimes brought trouble to their doorstep, straining the bonds of trust and loyalty that held the family together. Nikos's journey into the realm of dreams had taken a toll not only on himself, but on those around him. His nights were filled with adventure and discovery, guided by the enigmatic presence that had promised him a taste of the freedom he craved. Yet, each dawn brought with it a sense of loss, a mourning for a world that felt more real to him than his own. His days were marked by a listlessness, a disconnection from the land and the people who loved him. The family's struggles were a mirror to the turmoil within Nikos's soul. His heart, torn between the call of the dream world and the ties of blood and duty, beat with a rhythm of discord and longing. The more he immersed himself in the dreams, the more distant his reality became, until it felt like a thin veil through which he could barely perceive the world. Unbeknownst to the family, the root of their unraveling lay in the divine interest that had entwined itself with their fate. Hypnos, oblivious to the consequences of his fascination, continued to draw Nikos deeper into the dream realm. The god's intentions, while not malevolent, were born of a loneliness that mirrored the mortal's own restlessness, a desire for a connection that transcended the boundaries of their respective worlds. Hypnos's involvement with Nikos had become a beacon that drew the attention of other deities, curious or concerned about the god of sleep's unprecedented attachment to a mortal. Among them was Morpheus, who saw the unfolding drama as a cautionary tale of the dangers inherent in crossing the divine-mortal divide. He warned Hypnos of the fragile balance that governed the interactions between their realms, a balance that Hypnos, in his fascination, had begun to tip. The effects of this imbalance were not confined to the dream world. The land itself, sensitive to the disturbances in the natural order, reflected the discord. Crops grew thin, and animals bore fewer young, as if nature itself mourned the fracture between the god and the mortal. The family, once the heart of the community, found themselves increasingly isolated, their plight whispered about in hushed tones by neighbors who once had been friends. As Aeson's health declined, so too did the family's fortunes. Lycos, struggling to fill his father's shoes, faced challenges that seemed insurmountable. Aeson's absences grew longer, his quests more quixotic, leaving Lycos to contend with the estate's dwindling resources and the care of their ailing father. Nikos, meanwhile, was lost to them. His body present, but his spirit ensnared in the webs of Hypnos's realm. It was during this time of desperation that Hypnos, in a moment of clarity, realized the depth of the impact his interactions with Nikos had wrought. The god of sleep, so accustomed to observing the mortal world from a distance, found himself confronted with the tangible consequences of his actions. The realization came as a shock, a jolt that awakened him to the complexities and responsibilities of his power. Hypnos, in his wisdom, understood that something had to be done to rectify the imbalance he had caused. Yet, his options were limited by the laws that governed the divine, the edicts that forbade direct interference in the mortal realm. He was caught in a paradox of his own making, a god who had reached too far into the human heart, only to find himself ensnared by the very emotions he had sought to explore. The god's dilemma was mirrored in the mortal realm by the family's struggles. They faced a crossroads, each member pulled in different directions by their desires, their duties, and the changing world around them. The unity that had once been their strength was fractured, leaving them vulnerable to the storms that gather it on the horizon. In this moment of crisis, Hypnos made a decision that would alter the course of their lives forever. He chose to intervene one last time, not through the dreams that had brought them to this precipice, but in a manner that would require the greatest sacrifice a god could make. His plan, born of love and loss, was a gambit that held the potential to mend the rifts within the family and between the worlds of God and mortal. Yet, as with all actions taken by those who wield power over fate, the outcome was uncertain. The threads of destiny, once pulled, could unravel in ways that not even a god could foresee. Hypnos, with a heavy heart, set his plan into motion, hoping to restore the balance he had disturbed and to give the family a chance to reclaim the unity and purpose they had lost. The stage was set for a confrontation between the divine and the mortal, a test of wills and hearts that would determine the future of both realms. As the family gathered, facing the challenges that lay ahead, they found themselves not alone but watched over by a god who had come to care deeply for their fate. Together, they would face the storm, their destinies intertwined in a tale of love, loss, and redemption that would echo through the ages. The estate lay quiet under the blanket of night, a stark contrast to the turmoil that had gripped it for months. In the deepest hours of the night, when the world seemed suspended between yesterday and tomorrow, Hypnos, cloaked in the ethereal shroud of his divine essence, embarked on his final journey into the mortal realm. This time, his purpose was clear, his resolve steel. He would offer each member of the family a dream, a beacon in the darkness to guide them back to each other and to themselves. Under the silver glow of the moon, Lykos found himself standing in the midst of their fields. But these were not the withered grounds he had grown accustomed to. They were vibrant, teeming with life, a vision of what could be. As he walked, the earth beneath his feet whispered of resilience, of hope. Figures emerged from the shadows, faces of the community, their eyes reflecting trust and unity. They looked to him, not with expectation, but with belief. Lykos awoke with the dawn, his heart lighter than it had been in years, filled with a renewed sense of purpose. The vision had shown him not just the potential of the land, but his own capacity to lead and inspire those around him. Iason found himself on a battlefield, but not the kind he had imagined. This was a field of his own making, strewn with the consequences of his rash actions and unchecked anger. Amidst the chaos, a figure appeared, serene and unyielding, a mirror of his potential for balance and justice. The figure led him through the turmoil, guiding him back to his family, the true bastion against the storms. As the dream faded, Iason was left with a profound understanding of his strength, not as a weapon, but as a shield for those he loved. In the realm of dreams, Hypnos appeared to Nikos not as a shadow or a whisper, but as a companion. Together, they journeyed through landscapes of unimaginable beauty, realms that stretched the boundaries of imagination. Yet, with each step, Hypnos's form grew more translucent, his essence weaving into the fabric of the dream. The greatest adventure, Hypnos imparted with a voice fading into the ether, lies not in the lands beyond, but in the heart of your world. Nikos watched as the god of sleep dissolved into the dawn, a sacrifice made to anchor the young man's spirit to the waking world. As the morning sun breached the horizon, casting its golden light over the estate, the brothers awoke with a shared sense of clarity and purpose. Their hearts, once burdened by the weight of their trials, now beat with the rhythm of unity and determination. The days that followed were marked by a transformation not just within the family, but across the land. The fields, once barren, began to yield their bounty once more, as if nature itself responded to the renewed bond among the brothers. The community, sensing the change, rallied around the family, their combined efforts turning the tide of misfortune that had threatened to engulf them. Lykos, with his vision of unity and prosperity, led the charge, his leadership grounded in the wisdom gleaned from his dream. Iason, tempered by the realization of his true strength, stood by his brother, a protector of their home and the ideals it represented. And Nikos, his wanderlust now a source of inspiration rather than escape, wove the tales of his dreams into the fabric of their reality, enriching the land with the depth of his experiences. The sacrifice of Hypnos, the god who dared to dream with mortals, became a legend whispered on the winds, a story that transcended the boundary between the divine and the earthly. His essence, forever intertwined with the realm of dreams, served as a silent guardian over the family and the land they cherished. As the seasons changed, the family stood together on the fertile grounds of their estate, a testament to the power of unity, the resilience of the human spirit, and the indelible mark of divine sacrifice. Their saga, a blend of triumph and tragedy, had forged a legacy that would endure, a beacon of hope for generations to come, echoing the timeless dance between the ephemeral